Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Welcome back to Restoration Place on the King James Radio Network. Corbett Thompson here at jamesisking.com. Also find us on Facebook, King James Radio Network on Facebook, and on Twitter at King James Radio 1. Of course, Restoration Place presides in North Brunswick, New Jersey under Pastors John and Darlene Bazemore. And this week we continue the theme that we were on last week. The title of last week's episode was Working Together. And so we're going to do Working Together Part 2 with Pastor John Bazemore Jr. And again, just talking about using our individual gifts to comprise the whole as a church. And Pastor B gets into a lot more detail on that. So in a continuation of last week, Part 2, Working Together on Restoration Place.
Restoration Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore Jr.
Stand to your feet one more time. We are ready for the word of God coming from this great man of God, the angel of this house of restoration. So please greet your pastor with a hearty amen.
Amen.
So glad to be here this morning.
Amen.
This has been an amazing week for Darlene and I, just in so many different areas, personally, business, ministry. This has been an amazing, amazing week for us, and I'm excited about the things that I know God is about to do in this ministry and for all of you, and I want you to bring that enthusiasm and bring that excitement with you. Pat was there, so she can attest to this. We were sitting in a business setting, and I was looking at, as the people were coming in, you know, it was kind of like a little buzz, and people were wondering how things were going to be. And then when everything started, there was clapping and there was cheering. And you know, I came right into restoration. My mind started thinking about us. And I said, you know, this is how things should be. And it really doesn't matter. You know, it can be two or it can be 2,000.
Yes.
But if you bring the enthusiasm with you, it will be here.
Yes.
You don't need a lot of people to be enthused. You just really need one.
Yes.
And you need two to be in agreement with the enthusiasm.
Yes.
But you only need one to be enthused.
Yes.
So if you bring that with you, I promise you, when you get here, it will be here.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
I'm excited about what God is doing. As excited as we were yesterday, there was some structure that had to be laid in place before that meeting happened. There was a lot of things that happened behind the scenes that we didn't have privy to. And it's the same way in the things in the church. There's a lot of things that you guys may not know about that happens behind the scenes. Things that involve Darlene and I and others that happen behind the scenes. There's a lot of preparation are getting ready. Now, most of you come and you hear the music, but many of you are not here when the equipment is being set up. But now, the praise singing and all of those types of things wouldn't happen unless those things were set in place before you got here so that you don't have to worry about those types of things. Your focus can be on giving praise to God. Because, listen, praise is not for us. As good as praise sounds, and as good as it sometimes makes us feel, praise is not designed to make us feel good. Praise is designed to give worship and honor to the Father in heaven. Praise was never designed for us. It was never designed so that we could feel good. But the Bible tells us clearly that God inhabits the praises of his people.
Yes.
It says in the word he inhabits the praises of Israel, which means he enjoys that. I mean, he inhabits means to live there. He goes and he just abides there. He loves it when we give him praise. You, let me tell you what he does not like. When we allow our problems and our situations to overcome us so much that we can't even lift our hands in adoration to him. He doesn't like that at all, because he wants your praise, because listen, he knows what you're going through. How many of you know that God knows what you're going through?
Yes.
You got to know that he knows everything that you're going through. He already sees the end of it. He knows that. We sometimes we get so tense, and we tense up, but we've got to understand that God already knows your situation, and he has already provided a way of escape. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
My God, he has already provided a way of escape. So now the book of Acts chapter 6. Last week I started talking about getting ourselves ready, getting structure in order, getting this house in order. There are things that we need to do. There are even some tweaks that I see that I want to make to our order of worship. What we do every Sunday morning is called the order of worship. That means basically you have a set order. Now, let me say this, because there are some people, particularly young people, that don't appreciate the importance of order. You know, they feel like, oh, we can just come and we can just let it all hang out. It doesn't work that way. I don't care what setting you in, you've got to have some type of structure, because that's how God works. Listen, when God told Moses to build a tabernacle, did he say, let me ask you a question. Let me ask it to my resident theologian, you know, my boy.
Yeah.
Did God tell Moses, Trey, to build a tabernacle and just do it however you want to do it? What did he do? Tell me what he did.
He gave him specific instructions.
He gave him specific instructions. I mean, he left nothing to Moses' intuition or Moses' creativity. He gave him specific instructions on how he wanted that tabernacle to look, because let me tell you why he had to do that. The tabernacle was supposed to be a pattern of the one that was in heaven in the temple. So now, since Moses is not in heaven, Moses would not know. Now, some people ask me, I've been asked this before. I was doing a teaching on the tabernacle, and somebody asked me, well, Pastor, why was God so specific in his instructions with the tabernacle? I mean, what difference did it make? You know, here's the reason why. When you go someplace, though you are not at home, and you go to visit, there is something about going in someone's home that kind of reminds you of being in yours. And you automatically feel more comfortable. Now, I went recently in someone's place of abode, and it was a mess. Now, I'm just a neat guy. That's just me. I mean, I'm not knocking anybody that's not, but unorganization, not being neat, I can't roll like that. Now, again, that's me. So now, I've not been in your house, so don't say, pass up there, talk about my house. Well, I'm not talking about your house, but if it's dirty, clean it. But anyway. But I'm just the type of person that I like structure and I like order. Now, and God is the same way. He wants to feel comfortable where he comes. So God told Moses the design of a tabernacle so that when he came here, because listen, God said, I need a place where I can dwell with my people. But when he came there, Nikki, he wanted to feel at home. So he designed the tabernacle, Alki, just like it was in heaven, so that when he came here to abide with us, he could feel perfectly at home. My design for this ministry is love. I want when people walk through that door, I want them to feel, even if they don't know us, even if they don't know anything about our ministry, here's one thing that everybody on this planet can relate to. Everybody can relate to what? Love. Everybody can. There are people that say, I don't feel love. There are people that say, my dad never hugged me. You know, people tell me men have problem expressing their emotions. We don't have no problem expressing anger. Yeah, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. You know, I just think they have problem expressing certain emotions. So let me read to you what was happening here in the book of Acts. Starting at verse 1, it says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Gentiles. Now, who were the Gentiles? The Gentiles were the ones who, the easiest way to give you the instruction is, they were the ones who were not Jewish. So now, you got to understand, the people that were born again or gave their life to Christ were Jews, And now they were living for Christ, though they did not leave or stop, you know, practicing their Jewish heritage, but yet they were now following the ways of Christ. But now here's another thing that happened. Now you also had Gentile believers that were now following Christ. So now you got a situation where Jews and Gentiles were coming together in one place, and they began to murmur. They began to talk of, you know, certain things were not getting done. And you know how it is, that maybe y'all don't know, but sometimes in churches, you know, things happen. You know, situations can happen. You know, I've been in ministries, and this is the honest truth, where I go in and I sit in the wrong seat, and somebody will politely tell me, oh, no, you can't sit there. That's Sister Cheryl sits there every week. So you can't sit there. You've got to move. Let me ask you a question. What are you sitting on the left side or the right side? I mean, is the anointing in the place, or is it in Cheryl's chair? Because if it's in Cheryl's chair, there's going to be a problem. Everybody's going to be stacked up on top of Cheryl. But the anointing is in the place. Yeah. It's in the house. But now, I want you to see what happened. And the Grecians, well, they multiplied, they murmured of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude, the 12 disciples, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave. Now listen, I want y'all to get this. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God. Listen to this. This is good. That we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, I know some of you might think, so let me help you with this right now. It did not mean that they thought they were too good to serve tables. Didn't mean that at all. But he said, it's not reason that we should leave what we were called to do what you were called to do. Now, there are different administrations in every ministry. Everybody is not going to be the pastor. Everybody is not going to be the praise singer. Everybody is not going to be the praise dancer. Everybody is not going to be the sound people, the media. We all have our different responsibilities. But the ministry will only function when we're all working together on one accord. But now here's the problem. Sometimes because we don't want to do the things that we should do, we sit back and wait for maybe the leader or the pastor to, it's not my job. Now Corbett took on this assignment of media. He enjoys doing it. He's very good at it. But now, can you imagine what it would be like if I'm preaching the words and the mic is not right, then I'm running to the back and I'm adjusting the mic, then I'm running back to the front. It can't work that way. We have to all understand we have assignments, and you're going to know more about those assignments right after I'm done preaching. I promise you, you're going to know so much more about those assignments. But I wanted to read this first because I wanted to give a biblical foundation for what I'm going to do. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. Who you may appoint over what? This business. Look what he said. My job, or our job, is to preach the word of God, but this business that need to be handled, you need to appoint someone to handle this business. How many of you really want to see your church grow?
Amen.
Here's the important question. How many of you are willing to do the things to make that happen?
Amen.
No, I want to, man. I want to see hands.
Okay.
Hands mean accountability, because I can look at, I said, no, you raise. I should video. Keep those hands up. Keep it up. Keep them up. Okay. Now, keep them up. Now, here's what the reason I'm telling you to keep them up is this. Raising your hand is a sign of agreement. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's just a sign of agreement. Mm-hmm. So you are agreeing with the words that I just spoke. Mm-hmm. I can't hold you accountable, but God can. Mm-hmm. So now, you can put them down, because now that I've seen the names up, let me continue reading. But we would give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Just like it did here. That's why I had y'all to raise your hand. Because that's a sign of agreement. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and some amazing names, and Timon, and Patmias, and Nicholas, a proselyte or convert of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Are y'all following me?
Yeah.
When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. Let me read that again, because I get excited. My God. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost, and the others, I'm not going through those names again, when they set them before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. Now I want you to see a pattern here. The disciples said, we cannot give ourselves over to waiting on tables because that's not our assignment. We have to stay focused on what? The ministry of the word. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to choose seven men full of the Holy Ghost and of good character, and we're going to let them deal with this business. So when they did that, when they set the house in order, the word of God increased, and the disciples were what? Multiplied. So now, I wanted you to see this. Now, there's another one that I could give you in the book of Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, where they were giving themselves to the word of God. They were breaking bread from house to house, and the disciples just began to increase. So now, here's what I would like to see. Because nobody wants to be a part of something that's not going anywhere. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a part of something that's growing, that's moving, where things are happening. They don't happen by your pastor. They happen by you. I'm one person. I can't be everywhere at the same time. So every leader depends on people that have bought into the vision. How many of you were with me in Patterson when I talked about keeping the baton moving or keeping the vision moving? The importance of that is this. I talked about four designated runners doing a relay. Each runner had an assigned job to do. Now, but it was only one baton. Now, their job was to work together to get that baton from the start line to the finish line. So now they had rules and regulations that governed how they could run, when they could take the baton, and, you know, when they had to take the baton, otherwise they would be disqualified. They could not drop the vision or drop the baton because they would be what? Disqualified. They could not run in somebody else's lane because they would be disqualified. They have an exchange zone. If you don't take that baton between the beginning of that exchange zone and the ending, you get disqualified. So now, there are rules to everything that you're doing. We watch the Olympics and we don't see that. We don't see the work behind the scenes. Yes?
It actually happened to the men.
Yes, it did. It did, Trey. You step ahead of me, but it did. Yes, I was going to say that. It happened to the men's team. They
didn't pass the baton within the baton.
Within the exchange zone. And they got what?
Disqualified.
So here's what happens. Sometimes we have the right idea about things, but we miss our season, which the exchange zone represents. So you got to do things in the right season. Now, here's the exciting thing, guys. We're in our, this is, oh my God, I got chip ups there. We're in our season right now.
Yeah.
This is our time right now. The baton is in our hands right now.
Yeah.
So now, here's my question. This is what Kevin Costner said to, what's your boy's name? The old guy. The English guy that you like.
Sean
Connery. I know she think of him. My Lord. He grabbed him by his coat, and he said to him, just as he was dying, he said this. Powerful words. What are you prepared to do? What are you prepared to do? It's my question to you, Restoration. What are you prepared to do? I mean, are you prepared? Are we ready to have exponential growth? Are we ready for that? Or no, a better question is, are you ready for that? Are you ready to take in people that may not smell so good? Yeah, see, this is real talk now. Are you ready to take in people that, we had a guy last night, what are you even doing today? Everybody knew this guy was there. Because you could always hear him, and I know you know who I'm talking about. He had a whistle. And every time the speaker would say something he liked, he'd blow on that whistle. Now, I would have slapped that boy, because after a while, this man is... But every time, I mean, that was his way of saying, I like what you're saying. I mean, but now, the important thing is this. They had structure, they had order. But more importantly, they were excited. They were, even the speakers, they were excited. Even the vendors, now they weren't excited because they're part of our company. They were excited at the prospect, seeing those people there. I'm sure they were thinking in my mind, man, we're about to make some serious money now. But something has to move you. Something has to motivate you. I mean, you've got to want your ministry to be the best ministry that God has on this earth. And by that, what do I mean by that? Do I mean that we have the most members? Absolutely not. Because you can have a big ministry that's not effective. But what do I mean? When people walk through that door, they just feel God's love and His presence.
Yeah.
This is what really grabs a hold of people. Listen, we can have a lot of programs. We can have a lot of programs going. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've seen programs come. I've seen programs go. I've seen people come with the programs, and I've seen people go with the programs. It's the anointing of God that will keep people here. Our programs are helpful, yes, because it keeps people occupied. But at the end of the day, my goal is not to occupy people's time with nothing but the anointing of God. These other things are just going to be add-ons. I mean, the community outreach leader, Sister Jones, she looked at me like, what you talking about, Willis? The community outreach leader, her job is to go into the community and to get the community involved with her ministry. That's her job. Now, the leader of the dance ministry's job, Brittany, is more of an in-reach job. I mean, I'm just looking, well, we have two young ladies in here now, but I'm seeing Brittany instructing these two young ladies in the importance of praise dance and getting them ready. And I can see Nyree, what's your sweetie's name?
Jaya.
I can see Nyree and Jaya. They're dressed up in their praise garments, and they're dancing before the Lord, and they're being instructed. And I'm seeing these young men as they come in, and Trey back there rebuking him, and I'm telling him to bring it down a notch because they're not doing the thing they're supposed to do. And even Josiah, I can't even think of names today. Don't you dare tell me it's a senior moment. But I mean, just imagine them being instructed on the things of the Lord in house. But see, here's the thing. They're being instructed on order. How there's an order and a structure that we have to have. I'm going to be doing a new members class. I did a format years ago, and I'm reaching out to Lois and Leon Alexander because I was told that they still have that manual that I wrote, because it took me months to do that manual, and I really don't want to go through that again. But I want to have a new members class because I want, as people come in, I want them to understand what we're all about, what our vision is. Where we're going, how are we going to get there? You know, structure in service, things we should do and we should not do, things we should say and we should not say. You know, just a lot of things. Just things that she read this morning. We were actually given instructions by my mom to bring this to the ministry and to repeat this to our ministry. And we started. Remember, Pat? We started doing it and then we stopped. And I wonder now, honey, where, you know, how things would be right now if we were continually confessing God's favor over this ministry. But see, there are some things that you stop doing that you should continue to do. You can't pay attention to, you know, sometimes things that's in front of you out there. You say, well, it's not working. It is working. It is. We don't see it working, but it's working.
Yeah.
Your excitement is infectious to your pastor. Mm-hmm. Do y'all believe that?
Yeah.
When you guys give me an excited amen, I mean, it does something to me. It does something to any speaker. But if people are looking at you like, amen, then I start feeling the same way. No, you do. Come on, guys. You know I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
You start feeling the same way. And then don't go to somebody else's church. You better say amen, Pastor. I bet I'll slap you. You better say amen for your own pastor. But I'm telling you, but I'm joking, but I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something contagious about excitement.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm telling you, when people come in, they feel that love. Listen, you guys got that down. Boom, you're there. You got that love thing down. But y'all need to work on your excitement.
Yeah.
No, y'all do. You do. You need to work on the excitement. Listen, if we're excited now, then when the multitudes come, we're going to be excited.
Yeah.
But now, if you can't show excitement, people are going to come in here, Nikki. They're going to sit down. And they're going to see you. Here's the body language. It just slowly goes down. Because they are feeling you. They can feel your, if you want to call it boredness, as well as they can feel your excitement. Now, if I was the type of preacher that got my Bible, where's my Bible? Don't y'all laugh at me. That got my Bible, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there you go. Thank you. Perfect timing.
Good job.
Perfect timing. Because that's exactly how you would be feeling.
Yes.
But anybody that knows me, I'm not like that. Yeah, I'm 64, but I declare I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it. I really feel like I'm 30. Besides a little pain in my knee, I'm good.
Amen.
I mean, I'm good. I'm in great shape. I feel good on the inside. I eat right.
Amen.
Amen. It's good when your young wife says that. Glory to God. But there's something about excitement that's contagious to people. So I'm giving you instructions this morning because I expect to see it. No, I do. And you know, how many of you know I'm going to remind you?
Amen.
Now, you know I'm going to remind you. I'm going to remind you. If it's me, Darlene, and Brittany here, I want y'all to be shouting me down. No, for real. Because it adds something to the atmosphere. It does. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been to ball games. When I went to the Staples Center, Pat, it was totally different than watching that game on TV. Kobe Bryant was there in person. Now, I don't idolize people, but I have a whole lot of respect for some people. And for that game. Now, maybe not on his personal side, but for their game. And I was watching this in person. Now, the OKC Thunder, which was, I mean, they were at the top of the totem pole, what was that, 4 years ago? And I got to go to the Staples Center in person to watch them play the OKC Thunder. And it was, now get this, it just, I mean, Dolly must have written the script out. She must have known, Trey. Triple overtime. Your pastor almost lost his complete mind. Do you hear me? Trey, I'm high-fiving people I don't even know. And they high-fiving me. That's what I'm talking about. We chest bumping. I don't even know these people. I did not know them. So now I feel happy. If I can chest bump somebody I don't know about a basketball game, and the God who saved me, who raised me, who blessed me, who restored me, my God, if we can't get excited about that, something's wrong.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I heard Mom say this today. This is the day the Lord has made.
Yes.
She said, I will rejoice.
Yes.
92 years old, owner her cane.
Yes.
I will rejoice.
Yes.
I will be glad
yes.
in it.
Yes.
So let me go ahead and say, this is the day.
Yes.
Not tomorrow,
yes.
but this is the
yes.
day
yes.
the Lord has made.
Yes. Yes.
I will rejoice and I will be glad in it.
Yes.
Not sad,
yes.
but glad
yes.
in it.
Yes.
Glad, happy, excited,
yes.
motivated,
yes.
moved.
Yes.
I'm going to be glad
yes,
in it.
God, yes.
So now, you guys have, like I said, you guys have done an amazingly, amazingly great job on love. Everybody that comes to visit us, they talk about the love that's in this place. I mean, to the person. Right now, Paranda, whatever her last name is, that goes to Donovan Kirkland's church in New York, she still inbox me, come to my Facebook post, and still talks about how loved she felt when she was here. We do a great job on that. But now, if we can combine that with The excitement that I know you can, because see, I've been around some of you, and I know you can get excited about some stuff.
Yes.
Come on, there you go. I know you can. I know you can get excited about. I don't know. I mean, you know, she don't follow football, but I'm a Giants fan. Some people are Philly fans. Some people know. My daughter, she's in North Carolina. Now, check this marriage out. She's a Giants fan, and he's a North Carolina. What do they call him? She's a Panther fan. Now, can you imagine when the Panther and the Giants play? My gracious, the chaos that must be in that house. But the excitement is there.
Yes, yes.
The excitement, the excitement
yes.
is there.
Yes.
You bring that energy into your ministry. You do that.
Yes.
I can stand up here and talk till I'm blue in the face and y'all bust a blood vessel and y'all can still be looking at me. But if you bring the excitement here,
yes.
when you're talking about your testimony
mm-hmm.
and the wonderful things God has done for you, I mean, sometimes I'm just amazed, Nikki, because people say it so calmly. I'm just so grateful for the things that God has done. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I'm grateful for the great things that God has done. What are you doing? You're confessing.
Yes.
You're confessing. You're telling the devil to try it again. I dare you.
Mm-hmm.
I devil dog dare you. Yes. Try it again. Yes. Listen, you cannot curse what God has blessed.
Yes.
How many of y'all are blessed? When they were setting the house in order, they were basically saying, there are things that God is holding us responsible for. I have to be responsible for the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I have to prepare. Listen, I can't study for 20 minutes and preach. It don't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prepare yourself because, listen, the Spirit of God is counting on you to present a vessel of honor, sanctified and fit to be used.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job. He only works in those situations. If I don't prepare myself, if I don't sanctify myself, he won't use me. I'll be up here talking. I can say motivational things that might get you excited, but there's not going to be an anointing here. It's the anointing, not excitement, but the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Yes.
The excitement brings on the anointing.
Yes.
You say, how is that possible, Pastor? Well, there's a prophet in the Old Testament. A king came to him to stand in agreement with him about, I think his name was Sennacherib. And it may not have been him, but it was one of those kings. But they came to the prophet and asked the prophet to intercede on their behalf. And he didn't want to do it, but he said, but because of somebody else, I'll do it anyway. Now, the first thing that he said after that trade, he said, bring me the minstrel or the musician.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not know this, but there's something about music that brings on the anointing of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all really haven't seen my flow. Now, Pat has because she was with me in the previous ministry when we had musicians. My flow is, Brittany, is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Am I lying, Pat?
Yeah.
My flow is totally different when I have musicians because there's something about the atmosphere
mm-hmm.
when you have musicians, even when you're giving the announcement and you're hearing the little soft music in the background, it's kind of calming. There's something about it. You know, when praise and worship is done, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy our praise, but now, when praise and worship is done, sometimes when the music just stops because we don't have a part in there that you can just keep going and that can flow with the speaker,
yeah.
But when you have musicians, there's something about exhorting. You know, after the song is done, and when you can exhort and there's music there, it brings a different atmosphere in the place. That's why one of my prayers is that God will send us musicians.
Mm-hmm.
It changes things, I'm telling you. And listen, y'all know how we like music.
Yeah.
So don't front. Y'all know. How many people in here don't like music? Thank you. Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
Music does something to you. We were last night. We were sitting at dinner, and I'm trying to think of the name of the group. They used to be one of my favorite groups because they made all these songs that you could, you know, play when you're trying to kick it to your lady. What's the name of that group? Oh, man. Isley Brothers. Yeah, Isley Brothers. So we were sitting at the table, Alki, and the Isley Brothers, I think the first song they played was the Isley Brothers. And wouldn't you know that somebody started singing the words to that song? I'm not going to tell y'all who it was. I looked at Patty and I said, what you know about that? She's an old pastor. I know. I said, let me find out.
Amen.
But there's something, and listen, and the, you know, maybe maybe it's me, but the songs that I used to hear back in the day, I can sing them. They put them on, I can sing them, I mean, word for word. Because it gets, it's something about it, it brings memory. I can actually remember. I can remember where, I can remember parties, and there's some of that stuff I don't need to be remembering, but I'm serious. I mean, trust me. But I can, it brings back situations that you were in. But imagine now, we have music here. Imagine we're in a service, and there's a particular song that's being played. I remember when being at Pastor Gumby's church in Atlanta, and there was this song, "I Sing Praises to Your Name. Oh Lord, praises to your name, for your name is great and greatly to be praised." It's a beautiful worship song. Every time I hear that song, I think about Green Pastors Christian Ministries. Because I can remember standing there, and Sister Jan, she was there with us. And, you know, she was in a wheelchair, but there was such a strong anointing in that place. Now, my mind was on the song I'm worshiping. I opened my eyes and looked, and who's standing there with their hands raised? Jan. Out of the wheelchair. And I'm thinking, oh my God, she's healed. You know, y'all know me. I get all excited. Oh my God, this is amazing. But I mean, but just to see, because I hadn't seen it in so long, her standing there with her hands in praise and adoration. So when I hear that song, it brings that memory of the anointing and the power. Not just Jan standing there, but the power of the anointing when music is played. Because if, listen, people that's gone to heaven, you know the number one thing they talk about? The music. You Google people that have gone to heaven, and just I would say probably 75% of them talk about the music, because it's something that even she did. When the Lord came in our bedroom and He had His arms stretched out, she told me about that. But then she had this look to her. She said, "But the music." I said, "Now how can you have the Lord right there?" This is the music. You know what she said, Brittany? She said, "It didn't feel like I was listening. It felt like I was a part of it." That's what the anointing does, folks. Do y'all believe that?
Yeah, yeah.
So now, will y'all do your pastor a favor? When we do praise, even if it's a song we sung last week, I'm serious, because it's not about that. Just join in and worship and praise. But sing and praise like God has really done something for you. Like you really have something to be thankful for. Like you really want to give Him praise now, because He enjoys that. As much as I enjoy it, I can't even imagine, Nikki, how much He enjoys it. He enjoys your praise. He enjoys your worship. I enjoy looking at your face and smile. Because, you know, every once in a while, you know how preachers are. You know we're going to try to crack this. Most of the time, be not funny. But, you know, we're going to try. That's what we do. But we love to see smiles on your faces. You know, even when we know that you're going through turmoil, some of you, I've been around for a long, long time. And I'll come to you personally, particularly if you're going through something and I know I can help you, and you don't tell me, Cheryl and Brittany, I get in your case because I love you. It's not a rebuke. When you love somebody, you don't want, if you can help, not even bring them out of the suffering tree, but if you can relieve just a small part of it, then you want that opportunity to do that. That's what love does. Love really cares about how other people are feeling, not yourself. That's not love, that's just selfishness. But when you really love, Nikki, you care about what other people are going through, and you want to try to do something about it. So let me say this publicly now, because I said it to Brittany and Cheryl privately. But when you guys are going through something, let us know. We want to stand. We may not be able to do anything, but I tell you what we can do. We'll love you and we'll be in agreement with you that whatever it is, yes, we're standing in agreement. Amen. That God will bring you out. I mean, yes. Is there anything better than that?
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.